Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Finding someone who shares your values in today's culture isn't easy. And being single around the holidays isn't easy either. That's why Catholic Singles created a website and app where single Catholics can meet and get to know each other that focuses on values, activities, and interests. For over two decades, Catholic Singles has been fostering deep relationships because your faith matters. Start today at CatholicSingles.com.
Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to IgnatiusBookClub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
Merry Christmas, Philip.
Merry Christmas, Ricardo.
Here we are on the Feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr.
That's right. These are also those quiet days after Christmas mm-hmm. that I try to catch up with some things.
No energy.
Yeah. What is this text you got earlier?
Well, my dentist. He sent me a text saying, oh, you have a podcast. And I said, yes, and we've had it for a while. We are recording episode 99 today. And he was very happy. My dentist is Dr. Chepeta. He belongs to St. Lucie's in Racine. And he sent me this text to tell me about discovering our podcast.
I love my dentist. I'm going to give him a shout out as well. So Dr. Daryl Stick, he's in Brookfield. And mm-hmm. he's mm-hmm. Catholic, but not a parishioner. But within my parish, I have all these great dentists, and I love them, and I always kind of apologize that I haven't switched over,
but it happens.
A little distance.
Yeah. He loves me because my mouth has given him lots of business. The first time I went to the dentist with my mom as a child, they found like 7 cavities.
Oh, wow.
From the start.
Wow.
Yeah. I think we can move on and read the gospel.
Yeah, speaking of family, so
yes.
This is the Feast of Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph this coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read the gospel from Luke's gospel. From where in Luke's gospel?
You are reading from chapter 2, verses 41 to 52.
Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. So a long gospel this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is just a curious gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, why is this included? So, I mean, I should say maybe the obvious, but maybe it's not obvious to all. But there are these major quiet periods in Jesus's life. Mm-hmm. So we've experienced Christmas and Jesus's birth. We don't know much about maybe him the next few years. Here he is 12 years old mm-hmm. when they go to the temple. But then after this, there's silence until he's about 30 years old.
One thing that people need to hear maybe, or when I explain this to parishioners, only two of the Gospels deal with any kind of infancy of Jesus, and only one of the Gospels deals with anything between the birth and Jesus beginning his ministry, and that's Luke, and that's the passage we just read. So I often tell them, don't read the Gospels as if you are reading the newspaper. I mean, there is a significance for Jesus being 12. He's at the temple. We have to read this as part of what formation probably Jesus received to be able to say the things that he would say later, I think. But going back to the feast, we are Christmas season. Christmas is not a day. Christmas is a season where we reflect in different ways about the humanity of Jesus. And I think that's what the feast is supposed to make us reflect on, that Jesus, fully divine but also fully human, had to be born in a family.
Right.
Human family.
Well, right, exactly. And relationships. Mm-hmm. Relationships right sure. away. Really rarely does Jesus really stand alone. It's a relationship to disciples, to others around, and even as a child, to his parents here, which plays such a crucial role. And of course, Jesus, even at 12 years old, he throws out a very explosive description of himself mm-hmm. in saying, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" You know, that's a very, very strong term. And already Jesus starting to say, you know, I have origins that are unique
yeah.
and from God the Father. Of course, we think then to later in life when Jesus will refer to the temple as his Father's house
exactly.
and will overthrow the tables.
Mm-hmm. Which was a gospel recently that I had an opportunity to preach right before Advent. And my thought was, many people would see like Jesus reforming everything, but the temple seems to be something that he would not dismiss. He's concerned about those who are taking advantage of the temple for economic reasons to make money. But this, he says, this is my Father's house, and he says it here. So Jesus may reform many things or may change the meaning of many things, but he's very respectful about the temple as his Father's house.
She kept all these things in her heart. Mary kept all these things in her heart. Here at the end, you know, that's sort of Mary's launching point into her life, much of which we don't hear about. But remember that those things in her heart, they're not all good. You know, it's the joys, it's the struggles, and perhaps the struggles here of just having anxiety mm-hmm. of losing Jesus. But also she moves ahead. She's going to be at the feet of Jesus' yeah. cross.
It's the second time that we hear that expression. She hears that expression. Luke uses it several times to describe Mary. It seems to me like in life you live things and then you don't understand them when they happen, but later on in life you say, now that makes sense. There are many things I have understood when I have gotten older. Maybe you are not there yet, but one day you look back and you see things, now this makes sense. Now I see the hand of God in that situation. Oh, I'm thankful that I didn't get what I was praying for then, because where would I be now? And I think it's part of this. And when we preach about Mary several times in Advent also, and we have Mary Mother of God on the 1st of January, 31st of December, 1st of January, isn't that part of what Mary is very able to do, to keep these things in her heart, this pondering of Mary that is really amazing also, something to imitate ourselves?
I agree with you. And I've thought about that too, as I continue to get older, just to look back in life. And it's just amazing how things were put in place. And just amazing how things work out mm-hmm. that you wouldn't expect, and how much more interesting life is. I think about that often in prayer, so looking a little bit more forward, as we ask for things, we often ask God for solutions that are frankly really boring. Mm-hmm. You know, when we really place our trust in God, especially in very difficult issues, he's got solutions that are way more creative and mm-hmm. way more exciting and better for us, but we often tie the hands of God with that. I can't help but think about parents. You know, as I'm constantly interacting with families, I know that you are as well, but parents, especially new parents, I've had close friends with several newer parents, and the anxiety that they have as parents, and I feel so bad for them. The worry, the trying to get things perfect, and the worry about the baby falling down or whatever might be happening. I think this feast helps us to appreciate is even Joseph and Mary are not perfect, and they have anxiety here, and they lose Jesus for at least a little while, and they're greatly anxious. But just a reminder to us, as we think about families, they're not perfect, and parents need to do their best, but take a deep breath as well, and know that they're not alone.
Also to celebrate our families, and then that families are not perfect, as you said. I compare this to this van, V-A-N, ads on TV that you see dad and mom and the perfect children.
Oh,
the
minivans.
The Holy Family, you see, maybe a bit of a mess. And I think we should be more open also to just celebrate family in general without getting too stuck in how that is supposed to look like.
Exactly.
But remember and pray for all our families today.
Right.
I think it's important to remember that this Sunday as we preach about this. For me, again, a celebration of the humanity of Jesus, one more angle in which we are allowed to reflect about what does it mean for Jesus. We know that he was fully divine. What does it mean to be fully human also? He had to be born in a family. It's funny also that I see myself and my mom at the end of the gospel, because I share with Jesus having a Mediterranean mother, and that's how a dialogue between a Mediterranean mom and a child with a bit of personality may go like. But seriously, Jesus is in the temple. He's among teachers. He had to learn what he said from someplace. So maybe this means more than just a sporadic episode. Who knows?
Right. I might propose one very concrete action. I'd say a prayer and an action on this Feast of the Holy Family, too, for those listening. But to really reach out in a very intentional way to those who are lonely, to those who perhaps don't have the family that they would like due to being widowed or estranged, or just those who are struggling with family issues. And whether you're involved in that or not, for some reason, perhaps this is a time for reconciliation, for healing, or just for reaching out. I think that's important. There's a lot of lonely people in this world.
Exactly.
And I think about the Holy Family, and this is a time perhaps to help that a little bit.
A great way to conclude this episode, if that's okay with you. So, Merry Christmas to everyone again. It's a great celebration, obviously. And also to remember today St. Stephen, a great saint, the first one that dies exactly the way that Jesus died. And a great feast in my hometown, in Catalonia. The Feast of St. Stephen is an important one, so...
Yes, and a happy new year in advance as we give thanks for this past year. So we'll be back next week with episode 100.
100.
All right, I'll see you later.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusOfLexington.com.